As I said, if you're a woman, you should have received a flower, and if you didn't, that's because we ran out of them. So I'm sorry about that. It is Mother's Day today, and we're not going to preach a sermon on Mother's Day, but we do want to honor women and mothers, realizing that this is a day of great celebration for many and a day of great anticipation for many who are pregnant, but at the same time, it is a day of frustration, a day of regret for many who maybe made a lot of mistakes, those kinds of things. And listen, Jesus is with us. We don't want to rejoice past anybody's mourning, but at the same time, we don't want to despair past the hope of Christ. And so he is meeting you exactly where you are, and you need to know that. He loves you, and he is ministering that love to you wherever you are. Okay, so go ahead and open in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Today is going to be a little bit longer. I've kind of become in around the 35-minute range. Anticipate maybe 45 minutes or 50 minutes today, and we cut a song off to make that happen. If it ends up going short, Nathan, you guys can add a song. But today we are going to talk about the church and talk about what it means to serve the church. And I want to ask you a question. What is Jesus doing right now? You ever ask yourself that question? What's he up to? What's he excited about? What does he dream about? What are the things that kind of when he wakes up in the morning, checks his iPhone? He's not playing Candy Crush, I'll assure you. He's dreaming about something. He came to life. God became a man. He lived this perfect life. He died on the cross for the sins of humanity. He was raised from the dead. He was exalted to the right hand of God. So what's he doing? Is he just kind of chilling out? So with this question, I'm going to go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to keep that question in your mind. What is Jesus excited about? What is on his heart? We're going to read verses 1 through 16 just all together. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, but rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So, the number one thing on Jesus' mind is his body. It is the church. A lot of people think that it's lost people. It's not. It's the church. Lost people are reached by the church. That Jesus is passionate about the church. Verse 8 says that he ascended on high and he gave gifts. The reason he ascended was so that he could give gifts to his church. And so verse 1, to live in a manner worthy of our calling is to be the church. And everything else comes out of being God's people. And so Jesus cares about the maturity and the growth of the church in love and unity. Look at verses 2 and 3. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because the church exists to show something. The church exists to show, to display the unity, the loving and unified nature of God. And so we have verses 4 through 6. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope, and so forth and so on. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We are a reflection of this God who is displaying himself, that we are to be one because he is one. But at the same time, we are many. Okay, there's unity and there is diversity, but the church exists to display God. Now, many people are looking for a church for themselves. They've bought into this thinking of consumer Christianity versus Christianity. That many come to church and say, what is this church going to do for me? And the church is going to make no sense to the consumer mentality, and here's why. Because being the church is about serving. Because the God of the gospel is a suffering servant. The way you know God is that God became a man and he suffered on a cross so that you might have life. Our God is a suffering servant. And so if the church exists to reflect God, then the church exists to reflect that aspect of him that we serve. We pour ourselves out the way he does. The church is about serving. And he gave us his life so that we can truly live. But to be a consumer, and I want you to think about this in terms of McDonald's. Okay? We're Dentonites and we love local. So we're going to talk about McDonald's. All right? When you talk about consumers, what does it mean? You give as little as possible for the most in return, right? That's what a consumer does. So you go to McDonald's and you look at the number 3, right, on the value meal, and you're like, well, shoot, for 30 cents more, I could turn this Diet Dr. Pepper into a vat, you know? And so it's really, I only have to give 30 cents more, and I get so much more. But think about this mentality as it applies to the church. I just kind of come, and if everything kind of works the way I want it to work, then I can get so much more out of them. And so many people treat churches like fast food restaurants. I don't like what they have here. I like what they have here, so I'm going to go here, and I'm going to try to get as much as possible. It's this value menu sort of Christianity. But Christians give everything. They, like God did. Christians give their time. They give their energy. They give their money. They give their gifts for other people because that's what Jesus did. That's what he did for them. And so your life is either going to be about serving Jesus or it's going to be about building up his church. I'm sorry. It's going to be about serving Jesus by building up his church or serving yourself. Got that? I'm learning how to read still, so it's kind of wrong job for that. But your life, it's one or the other. It's going to be about serving Jesus by building up a church or about serving yourself and building yourself up. Because, and here's the deal. Because Jesus' passion is the church, he has given us gifts to be the church, right? I mean, he says, I'm dreaming about the church, so I'm not going to make you go out and do this by yourself. I'm going to give you little pieces of me called spiritual gifts, right? So that you can do what I've called you to do. So we are not alone in this, that we have as Christians the power of a new identity. Guys, I don't know if you realize this, but you are no longer your own, but you are in Christ, right? You have a new identity. Think about this. How can you be a consumer if this is true? You're in Christ, that you are grafted onto the vine as branches. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do what? Everything? No, nothing. We have the opposite mentality. Apart from him, we can attach ourselves whenever we want. because we are self-sufficient within ourselves to have life. But it's the vine that gives life and direction to the branch. Consumerism is the opposite. And so because we have been grafted onto this vine, we have the power of God in us by the Holy Spirit. God with us. And so this is what we're talking about when we say spiritual gifts. Verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Spiritual gifts are abilities from God, right? Jesus working through us to build up the church. It's the life of the vine coming through individual Christians in unique ways and in differing amounts. And so all of these combine to build up the body in love in order to display who God is. So Jesus is up in heaven. He says, I want the world to know what God looks like. And so I'm going to give gifts to my people so that they can display what God looks like. We are the temple of the living God. That's what we're talking about here in this entire passage. But we all combine to build up this body in love. And when this doesn't happen, the body suffers. And when this doesn't happen, ministry suffers. Listen, every one of us needs to play a part in C3 being here to meet Jesus. And if you are not a member here, or you don't go here and you go somewhere else, that's true of you at your church as well, okay? We are here to see people meet Jesus, and that's going to take every single person in here working together. It's going to take a lot more than an inexperienced preacher and a few seminary degrees and people who don't make any money to get this done. It's going to take every single one of us bringing our gifts to the table. Now, some of you are consumers because you don't realize how much of a gift you are to the church. You simply don't realize it. You don't see yourself as a gift. You don't see yourself as, you don't understand who you are. Imagine going to McDonald's. We're still talking about McDonald's, okay? Because we're Dentonites, right? But imagine going to McDonald's and you see an employee, right, who works for McDonald's, and everybody that works there is kind of looking at him funny because he's ordering food and then leaving, even though he's on his shift, right? He's there as a customer when he's supposed to be there working. And what he's doing is he's having an identity crisis. He has no idea that he's supposed to be on the team in order to help customers eat really unhealthy food and die slowly, but he doesn't understand really what he's there to do. And friends, that is who you are, that you are a gift, and you have been gifted by God, what? To make this church a display of God's power, not so people can die slowly, but so that people can live. That's what it means to be the church. That is every single one of you in here who claims the name of Jesus. Every single one of you. You all have a gift. Now, some of us have more than one. Some of us have several. Some have more than one gift than another. Look, it says in verse 7, according to the measure of Christ's gift. So it's up to God. It's according to his sovereignty how gifted you are, right? And so don't look at other people and say, well, I need to be that in order to be truly gifted. No, it's how has God made you, right? You are a unique gift who has been gifted, okay? And we are all gifts to the church, but this is important. We're not defined by our spiritual gifts. That's very, very important. We're defined by Jesus, right? So I'm not a preacher. I'm a needy Christian in need of God's grace daily who happens to have a gift to speak the word of God, okay? You are not whatever, insert whatever gift, but you are always and never, you are always in need of Jesus, and he gives you gifts, and it's very important to keep this in the right order because many burn out because they start serving, but they start serving for the wrong reasons. It's not because of this love for Jesus. It's not because they're grafted into the vine and they understand the life of God is pulsing through me, so I've just got to serve his people. They don't understand that. We've all been there, right? And they don't get, guess what? Serving is hard, right? There happens to be people involved in serving, right? And people happen to be just a little bit difficult, right? If you don't know that, it's because you haven't served. You're proving my point of consumerism, okay? And so, listen, people are difficult. You don't get a whole lot of recognition. You don't get the titles, right? If you want a title, I'll make you president of C3, all right? If that makes you happy, okay? Titles are worthless, okay? So, you don't get all of these things, and so all of a sudden you just kind of burn out because apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. So if Jesus is our life, listen, we're not going to insist that I get to do this and insist that I get to do this. If Jesus is our life, then we will do anything to serve people. What do you need me to do, Jesus? I'll do it. But this is also, as Jesus is our life, how we learn what our gifts are. And this is the big question. How do you know? How do you know what your gifts are? Well, we make our lives about Jesus, we serve people, and then we just figure it out. It's really trial and error. What are you effective in? What are you good at? I mean, there's not some thing from on high. It just comes from trial and error. What are you good at? What do you get excited about? What do you take joy in? What do other people affirm? It takes time to figure out what your gift is. The bottom line is, we start with a mentality that I'm pouring my life out for other people because that's what Jesus did for me. Here's a good way to figure out what your gift is. Maybe, actually, not all the time, but maybe, and that is, what really gets on your nerves, right? What bothers you? That might be your gift. I'll give you an example. Cody and Karen McComas. My gift is not administration. Most of you know that. You've experienced that firsthand, okay? But they came along and they were just annoyed at just how much, this was probably about 2 years ago, just kind of how, I don't know, this was just kind of like a finger painting expose. I mean, it was crazy. We weren't doing any, it was like no organization whatsoever. And they just kind of came and they're like, hey, can we help with this? Can we help you do some of this stuff? You know, like add two and two together. You know, simple things like that, but they have really been a help. But it was a real way for them to discover and to develop their spiritual gifts. Guys, what, again, this could be dark. So, you know, if something gets on your nerves, it could be a heart issue. But it also could be that God is showing you that there is a gift. But listen, we should grow in our gifts. We all have gifts, and we should grow in them. Tim Keller says for preachers, it's not until you preach 200 sermons that you're not terrible. Okay, so we've got until about July, all right? And that'll be around 200 sermons for me, and then we'll be kind of past the terrible stage. But really, like, just thinking about the way I've grown, right? Like, I'll go back and listen to my sermons back in the early days. It's just so awkward and uncomfortable, all right? And I just want to strike them from the record, right? But really, we're all growing in our gifts, and it's a good thing. And so we practice our spiritual gifts. We develop skills. If your spiritual gift is hospitality, you need to get house decorating magazines. You need to learn how to cook. You need to become good at hospitality. If your gift is teaching, then you need to read books and you need to teach whenever you get an opportunity. And you need to refuse to not teach, right? Doesn't mean you don't need to be humble. But you need to teach. Like, we hone and develop our spiritual gifts. And this is why church leaders exist. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. This is why church leaders exist, is to equip and unleash you, those who are not leaders. Because the work of the ministry is your work. And you are my work. Understand? It's very, very important to keep that in mind, that we're not up here doing the work of the ministry. That's you that does the work of the ministry, and you're my work. And so the one thing I can promise you, or at least guarantee you, that we're going to try to do here is not bring up unicycles and dancing bears, and we're not going to have a climbing wall for your kids here. But one of the things that we are going to commit to do is to equip you for the work of the ministry, that you can do effectively what God has called you to do. That is our vision for you. And listen, if you don't get that here, if you don't get that at a church and they're not interested in equipping you, then what are they doing? You ought to go somewhere. You ought to be somewhere where someone takes you as an individual Christian and your gifts seriously, and they're going to pour into you so that you can do the work of the ministry. You are the church. The church is a people. It's not a place. It's not a time. And you have been gifted by God to be and to create this beautiful display of who God is on earth. That's the church. And so we're committed to doing that and trying to figure that out. And so finally, where do you use your gift, right? Where? I mean, is it only on Sunday morning that you use your gift? No. It's wherever there's people, right? That's where you use your gift. Wherever there's people and wherever there is needs. So to recap, right? Jesus is thinking about the church. And because he's thinking about the church, because he's passionate about the church, he's given gifts to the church. And the purpose of those gifts is to be used together, right, in order to make a display of God to the world. And the way we understand those gifts is by serving Jesus, worshiping Jesus, and serving other people. And we discover them and we hone them and we allow leaders to equip us and to be better with our gifts. All right? So, bottom line. You are gifted by Jesus. You are a gift. Mark Driscoll says that ministry is going to work with God. God is at work, and you get to work with him. This is a privilege to be a part of the things that he is doing in this world. Now, the New Testament, this is, we're going to go through a list here, all right? Some of you love lists. We're going to go through one. It's going to be 19. That's why this is long, but we're going to hurry through this. 19 distinct gifts, and I'm going to give you the verses that they're in, and you can look them up later. Ephesians 4:11, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and 1 Peter 4, 11. So as I'm going through this list, I want you to ask, okay, what sounds like me? Which one's me? How am I gifted? And I'm going to mention some names, all right, just so that you'll have a reference point. Very important here. Don't get your feelings hurt if your name isn't mentioned, okay? This kind of goes back to the identity and gifts kind of thing, all right? I'm naming people to give you a touchstone to understand what they're like and what these gifts might look like. Again, this is what I've observed. I'm not Jesus. I don't know exactly if this is true of every single person, all right? But this is kind of what I've observed here, okay? So number one, wisdom. 1 Corinthians 12:8. Wisdom is the ability to bring godly, timely, and effective advice to real life situations. Wise people, people with the gift of wisdom, they know how the world works, they know how truth works, and they're able to sort of bring the two together in real life. Now, this is a great service to the body. Why? Because you can never have too much godly counsel. Listen, we're a young church, right? We're a young church, and we're really good on truth. I mean, hardcore truth, baby. And we're really good on knowing what God wants us to do, right? But because we're young, a lot of times we're lacking in a third category of biblical knowledge, which is wisdom. Basically, how to take these truths and actually live them out in real life. Okay, it's really easy to be so fired up about truth, but really never have to do anything about it. And so totally to make a mess out of life, real life itself. And so God gives people with the gift of wisdom really to just kind of come along and sit back and say, you know what, that doesn't really make any sense that you're trying to do that, right? And this has been a great gift to us in the person of Chris Howell, who has come in. There's a great gift, a spiritual gift of wisdom. And I mean, I kind of look back at some of our conversations, and he's just kind of like, really? What are you saying? No, you can't. You shouldn't do that. No. You know, Chris says no to me more than anything. He never says yes. Right? And so, but he has been a great blessing to this church, and you should thank him. You should thank God for him, because this church is the healthy things that are happening in this church are in large part because people like Chris and Clint are moving in and helping me kind of lead. Cody, these other guys are helping me kind of not be just the lone idiot at the top, all right? And so it's been a great blessing. The second one, knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12:8. You love information, right? You love books. You're always reading blogs. You're always sending really obscure articles to people, and they're like, why are you sending this to me? I don't care. And you see a book, and you just buy it, right? Like, that's your idol, right? That's your idol. And you're just fascinated by God's world. Like, you get big concepts, right? You get big concepts easily, and you're able to sort of break them down and break them down and understand things and take them apart. In other words, you're a nerd, right? You like things that no one else likes, and you don't understand why they don't like it. You're always putting obscure quotes on Facebook and wondering why no one comments on them. You know, it's like, I thought these people would love this treatise on textual criticism from the history of 19th century textual criticism. And even that, your people are like, what? So, but the knowledge people are like, I want to know what that is. I want to know what that is. So you're going to go look it up when you get home. But you guys are a blessing to the church because you get people to think deeply. You help people to understand that we are a knowing people, right? And as a knowing people, we have to think about what we believe. And so you really push us, the church, in a lot of ways, okay? And there are several nerds here, and so I'm not going to mention them. Faith, the third one, 1 Corinthians 12:9. This is a childlike trust in God to do big things and just pray as if it's going to happen. And so you bless the church by reminding all of us that God is extremely big. Right, and this person with the gift of faith is where I see impossibilities, you see God. Right, I say, well, why are we doing that? And you say, why not? Now, with Chris's gift of wisdom in there, that's going to be a very powerful thing. The person with the gift of faith without wisdom could be a big idiot. Right, but once again, that's why it's really important to have more than one spiritual gift. All right, the person with the gift of faith really, and here's the thing. If that's you, if you're always saying, why not, this might be your gift. If you're always thinking of God as big, this might be your gift. And so begin to pray that God would help you to not only have more faith, but then help other people to have faith. That's kind of how these things work, all right? It's beautiful. Healing, the next one. All right, move on. We'll go to the next one after that. That's a joke. I'm going to say that about tongues, too. All right, healing. 1 Corinthians 12:9, just so you know. Love to pray for those who are sick. You love sick people. You love sick people because you know that God is a great physician. You do. You know that God heals people. And I'm sorry, he does, right? It's all over. If this is true, God heals people, okay? I'm sorry. I don't care how uncomfortable it makes us. We need to be pushed by that, and people with the gift of healing often push us on that. They push us because we're skeptical, okay? But the reality is they trust and expect that God will. And some people actually, and people with this gift, see actual healing, okay? Sometimes once, it's a gift, even if it's just once. And maybe it's many, many times, but they bless the church because they challenge the skeptic in most of us. And of course, people get healed. That's a blessing. And so if you love this, like if you love to pray for sick people, this might be a gift that God is going to bless you with, right? That God might heal somebody through you. It's God healing, right? It's not you healing, but it's God healing through you. It's the spiritual gift of healing. But keep praying. Like if you love this, keep praying for people. I might add, just kind of be sensitive. Some people are really freaked out by it. You just got to realize that, okay? And so be sensitive. Feel out the situation. You don't have to be there next to them while you're praying. Continue to pray, all right? And listen, because it's about faith. It's faith-based. It's not results-based. Continue to pray. Continue to pray, all right? Number five, miracles. All right, 1 Corinthians 12:9. You love to pray and see God show up in power, all right? This is kind of what the engine room is on Sunday morning. It's our prayer time on Sunday morning. If you guys love to see God do big things, go to the engine room. They meet up there at 10:10, Eric? 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, sorry. Obviously, I don't have the gift of miracles. But no, we go up there and we pray on Sunday morning for God to just save people, for God to move in power through our services, through our relationships, and to just build up this church, we have an impact in the city of Denton. And so, man, if that's you, you expect, you anticipate that God's just going to show up, and you tend to make other people uncomfortable. This is somewhat like the faith gift, but you make people uncomfortable because you're always saying these big claims for God, and you take these big risks for God. And this is you. Listen, we can't have enough of this. Spread it. Spread it. Encourage people to believe in a big God. All right? Invite them in. Next, discernment. 1 Corinthians 12:10. This is a distinguishing of spirits. You have this internal alarm that buzzes when something is wrong. Okay? It is construed as pessimism by some people, but I don't think that's what it is. You discern teaching, you discern people, you discern motives, you discern doctrines, the presence of Satan and demons. You know when something isn't right with a person, with a teacher, and with a doctrine. And people, listen, there are people who want to destroy the church, and most of them are inside the church, right? It's not the abortionists on the outside, okay? It's people that are within the walls of the church, and God gives the spiritual gift of discernment to protect his church. I think my wife, Heather, has this gift. She just always, you know, we had a guy come to our house one time, and he ended up to be a false teacher. And Heather came to me afterwards, and she's like, I just don't know about that guy, you know. And it turned out, you know, 6 months later that the guy was a false teacher, you know. And there was just something demon-y coming off of him. I don't know what it was, right? And, I mean, I kind of had the same thing as well. I think God's given me that gift at times, other times not, if you look at my life. Discernment hat was off. The next one, apostleship. This is 1 Corinthians 12. Well, you got the verses up there. I'll shave a couple of minutes off by not doing that. All right. You love starting things, right? We're not talking about capital A apostles who write the Bible. All right? That's not what we're talking about, so calm down. All right? That's not what we're doing. And we're talking about a gift. This is not an office right here. There's a debate as to whether or not it still is an office. We'll have that debate offline. But it is a gift here. And so these are missionaries. These are people that tend to just kind of blaze trails into the unknown. These are church planters. These are people who start things, people with an entrepreneurial spirit. So C3 would not have been started, I believe, without the gift of apostleship to go and do that, right? This church. And so, again, gifts are given in different measure. So there's little bitty apostle gifts like mine. And then there's like Rick Warren, who's, you know, started thousands of churches all over the world, and so on. So God, I would say he's definitely that kind of apostle. So God uses people with this gift to move the church forward. And so if this is you, if you love to start things, if you love just get excited about an entrepreneurial spirit, you need to get equipped, and you need to get assessed, and you need to be in partnership with other people. Very, very important to be in partnership, because apostles and entrepreneurs kind of tend to be lone wolves and to go out and just do crazy things, all right? And so you need to be in partnership with other people. All right, next, teaching. 1 Corinthians 12:28, Romans 12:7, Ephesians 4:11. I said I wouldn't do that. Anyways, ability. This is the ability and the love of teaching biblical truth to people, all right? And so as my seminary professor, Howard Hendricks, God rest his soul, just passed away, loved him very much. You take the cookies and you put them on the lower shelf. That's what you do, right? I mean, that's what a teacher does. They take concepts, they take big ideas, and they package them without right? Without changing the content, they put them to where normal people like us can kind of understand what's going on, right? This is a gift, right? And, and really, again, because we are a knowing people, we tend to be anti-authoritarian. Well, I'm not, you know, people that teach, well, forget them, man. They're just like everybody else. You know what? Nobody's like everybody else, all right? And so we should thank everybody for their gift, and particularly if someone is teaching, helping you understand the Word of God, man, what a blessing. So find teachers, bless them, love them. Let's see here. I think Taylor Lasseter, is Taylor here? No. If you know Taylor Lasseter has an amazing teaching gift. He's preached several times here. He'll preach a couple times this summer. I mean, he kind of gets up there with his PowerPoint, and he's kind of looks up there, and then like it's like this big this complex like text, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's what that means. And man, I love, you know, everything just love to the Word of God after a guy like that. And so that's Lasseter. If you teach, if this is you, then you need to teach, all right? You need to grow in it. To go and teach one-on-one, right? Teach small groups. Just figure out ways to teach and just grow in that. The next one is helps and service. Some people just find joy in helping, right? They just find great joy. Tell me what the needs are. I'll do it. And this is a gift, right? This is a gift. Many don't want this gift. I'm amazed at how many people don't think that their spiritual gift is service, you know? But I think that it's a lot more people, but many don't want it, or they're not interested because it just doesn't get noticed. I think that's just the truth. And it's a real behind-the-scenes kind of a gift. And so, maybe you just don't think it's a legit gift. But it's just this idea of, hey, what do you need? I'm going to do it, all right? And so servants are the ones who make the car run, right? They make sure that there's gas in the car. Without servants, there's none of this happens, period, all right? And so if this is you, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for all the service that you do. I don't need to tell you to serve because you're already doing it, right? And that's because it's your spiritual gift. You love it. Number 10, the next one, administration. You love organizing and planning things, okay? Individually or on a large scale, here's what it means. Your life makes sense. And you want everybody else's life to make sense too. And it drives you nuts when it doesn't, okay? And you are at home with a spreadsheet, right? And you just love to organize, and you just got everything just kind of in your life just completely organized. As I mentioned, this is totally not me, and I talked to you about Karen and Cody's story. I think this is best introduced or best illustrated in the difference between my office and Chris's office. Like, I don't have the gifts of administration. He does. All of his things are at right angles on his desk, and mine are just in piles. His will always be clean. Mine gets progressively worse, okay? And I think that's just a good illustration. But it's a blessing, this gift. Without this gift, the church would not grow in a healthy way. People with the gift of administration build the trellis on which the vine of the gospel grows. The trellis must be there to support the vine, okay? And without that trellis, people get hurt. And you, listen, because of my lack of organization, because of my lack of administrative gifts, people have gotten hurt. They've gotten their feelings hurt. I've forgotten about people. People have fallen through the cracks. People hate falling through the cracks because they're made in God's image. They're made for relationships. So the gift of administration helps people not fall through the cracks. And it just makes sense of an organization. Okay. Number 11, evangelism. You love non-Christians. You feel at home with non-Christians. You probably feel more at home with non-Christians than you do with Christians, right? You are super annoyed by Christians who don't feel at home with non-Christians. You don't understand why everybody's always kind of doing their Christian thing and everybody's over here. That's because you have the gift of evangelism, okay? That you're always wanting to see people meet Jesus. And let me just say this. Without evangelism, all the church is in Denton is we're just kind of looking to swap out believers from other churches, right? And so if we're not here to reach people for Jesus and to see new people meet Jesus, then we're just kind of playing musical chairs between a few different evangelical churches. I don't want to be involved in that, right? We should just go build another building at the Village and so that more people can go there, right? We got to be here to reach people for Jesus, okay? So That's exactly Amanda Rafel, Maggie Bertino, two girls that I've seen, and I know there's several other people, Dustin, that have that. But I mean, those they always have somebody with them. Always have somebody with them. They're bringing them to stuff, all that kind of stuff, and they're just annoyed by you because you're not excited about it too, and it's awesome. But they, yeah. So if this is you, continue to just gently invite other people to the evangelist. Don't be annoyed by them. Don't hit them over the head with the evangelism hammer, right? But just continue just to gently invite them into this, okay? Next one is shepherding and pastoring, okay? Ephesians 4:11, they love people, right? This is an office, but it's also a gift. Okay, so there is a pastoral office, but there's also a pastoral gift that several believers have. I think many of our parish leaders have them. You love to care and nurture and invest in people. You just have a deep concern for how people are doing, how they're growing, right? So Meredith Lassiter, women, if you don't know Meredith, you need to get to know her. She's got a pastoral gift of just shepherding women, right? Roger Oakley. Roger's the soul whisperer, right? He just whispers to your soul, okay? He's just like, hey, how you doing? You know, just kind of looking after you, you know, always asking how you're doing. What a beautiful, beautiful gift. Because I'm not always doing well, and neither are you, right? And so the Lord gives people like that as a great, great blessing. And be sure to thank your parish leaders, because they are looking after your soul. They're caring for you. And we just want to see more of that in this church. If you are a shepherd or a pastor, you just have a heart for other people like that, come forward, man. Let's get you in the pipeline and teach you how to lead a parish and all that kind of stuff, and we'll move from there, okay? Number 13, the gift of encouragement. These are the people that you want to be around all the time. Does that make sense? Like, people with the gift of encouragement are just like, they're just little happy fun box party boxes. Like they're just mobile parties. They're always happy. Like that's not me. I'm Eeyore. I drag everybody down. I'm negative. I'm always pointing out just, well, what about that? And you know, but there's just joyful people. They're like, yeah, I know the world stinks, but I'm not going to get drugged down into the mud with it, right? And so these are happy, joyful people. They're people. They have a lot of friends. And guys, there's a lot of people who are miserable in this world. All of us float in and out of it, right? But this is a great gift to God's people who often are just beat down in the midst of a hard life, right? Sin does that to people, and God gives this gift of encouragement to come along and just bring us back into fellowship of joy. And so there's a lot of sadness here. Mary Howell has this gift. Just to me, in amazing measure, she said to me and Heather, we were riding home from a wedding or something. She goes, I just don't think you and Ross know how much God loves you. And I've heard people say that before, but when she said it, it was like I almost started weeping. I was like, you're right, he does. You know, and it was just like, I believed it. I believed it at that point. You know what I mean? Because that's something we struggle to believe. But I just believed it, and it just pierced my heart. And I think that was God using just that gift of encouragement. I think Jessica Terrell has the gift of encouragement. I don't know if you've never not been happy, but she's just amazing. She's just always a ball of joy to be around. If this is you, invite people into your life, because we're skeptics, and we think you're faking it, okay? So confess your weaknesses. You know what I mean? Like confess, and I don't think you're faking it, Jessica. But I think we tend to say, well, there's no way anybody can be that happy. And I think just kind of helping someone know you're broken just like they are, we tend to kind of look at the real happy Christians and reject them. There's no way. next, the gift of giving. You love meeting needs, physical needs, financial needs, giving gifts. You want to help. So someone came to my house, and I won't tell you who. They gave our church this huge check for like $17,000, right? And this is somebody that doesn't have a lot of money. I mean, well, they did. They gave it to us, right? but you could have just seen. You kind of like, called me on the phone, like, hey, I got something. I'm just stuttering, like, I'm going to bring it over. Are you there? Are you there? And I was like, well, I'm not. I'm on my way texting. Are you there yet? So I get there, and he's just kind of over there, just kind of waiting for me to open it. They're just so excited about giving a gift and meeting needs. And so, man, if you just love that, if you see money as an opportunity to bless people, man, if this is you, disciple other people in the joy of giving. Like, that's a gift that God's given you. Because a lot of us are just terrified to give, right? And so we need help in someone like you coming along and saying, well, hey, you know, help us out. Number 15, leadership. You love getting people on board with things. You're always starting stuff. You're always rallying people. And you're always in short supply. There's not a whole lot of leaders, people who are just saying, I'm going to do it. I really think Parker Wallace has a big leadership gift. He's just always doing something. He's just always like, what do you mean you're going down to Big Bend? Like, why are you taking 40 people down to Big Bend with you? You know, like, that's so far. No, I can't go. Man, that's awesome. So he's always doing that kind of stuff. And we want to mobilize leaders, right? Listen, if you're upset that you don't get asked to lead, it might be an identity issue. It really might. But it also might be because you're a leader, right? Leaders tend to upset the status quo. Leaders are rough around the edges. They tend to be on the side of cocky and arrogant. And the Holy Spirit needs to rub those rough edges off of them, but that needs to not threaten us. Other leaders tend to be threatened by leaders, right? And so they tend to just kind of beat them down into the organization and don't want them to get up. We don't want to do that. We want to allow leaders, give them an opportunity to lead while pastoring them and shepherding them through that. I mean, arrogance is not an excuse. We're not going to let that happen, but yeah, so the Holy Spirit's going to soothe that out. So it's a big loss if people leave this church because they didn't feel there was any opportunity for them to exercise their gift of leadership. To me, that's a huge loss. And so if that's you, bring it. So number 16, mercy. You just love people who are hurting. But when I see hurting people, I'm just going to confess. Okay, if I come up to you and you're hurting, it's because of the Spirit, but I just tend to want to walk away, right? I get uncomfortable when I see people who are hurting. But you walk to the people who are hurting. You're like, yeah, come on, baby. I love you. I want to be with you. I want to put my hand on your shoulder. I want to cry with you. I want to pray for you. People with the gift of mercy are emotional. They cry a lot. They're empathetic. They're just super loving and tender towards people who are hurting. They hate seeing pain. I think Elise has the gift of mercy, at least that I've observed in Elise. I think my daughter Sophia has the gift of mercy. We were at the cookout the other day and the crawfish, and she was like crying because the crawfish were dying, you know? So I'm just like, well, you know, and then Meredith, I can't remember who it was now, never mind. Don't have time anyways. Okay, but if this is you, man, I tell you what, you are a blessing to the church because the church is full of hurting people. And people need people to come alongside them. It's great for me to sit up here and preach truth, yes. But at the same time, like, truth comes in all sorts of different angles. And all of these spiritual gifts sort of work to kind of make one big picture, and that is Jesus is Lord. He's awesome. You can trust him. You can worship. You can have joy. All these different things add into that. Number 17, hospitality. You like to welcome strange people that you've never met into your home and entertain them. You love just hospitality. You love cooking, or maybe you don't love cooking per se, but you love providing for people so that they can eat. You're always volunteering to bring stuff, and you just want to see all this awesomeness happen because you know that life change happens in the living room and at the dinner table. That's where life change happens. It might happen in small ticks here on Sunday morning, but really it gets hammered out in the living room and at the dinner table. And our hospitality team on Sunday, you turn this place into a living room, right? I mean, that's the idea. That's the vision of just of being a welcome place for people to meet Jesus. And so you love that, okay? And if this is you, you need to host a parish, right? You need to bring people into your house. Parish leaders are not the ones who should always be hosting the parish. If you have the gift of hospitality, say, I'll host it. Because what you're doing is you're using your gift for to provide a context for growth, okay? Tongues, next. Just kidding. Again, a lot of controversy around tongues, but here's my take on it, and we can argue offline. I believe that tongues are a private prayer language. that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that enables believers, certain believers with that gift, to connect with God, okay? And then there's another sense of that's a public ability to communicate the gospel in language that you don't know, okay? So it's God enables you to speak in another language. All right, move on. And then number 19, prophecy. Okay, prophecy is you speak truth in a forceful way that gets a response. Okay, this is, I believe, my primary gift that the Lord has given me. That and this happens to preachers all the time. People say, I thought you were talking directly to me. You've said that before. I've said that before. It wasn't me talking to you. It was God speaking to you through the gift of prophecy. All right? That's exactly how that works. There's also sort of another aspect of prophecy that is speaking timely truth in a particular moment. That you, someone will say, have you been reading my journal? You know, you'll say something to somebody and they'll be like, how did you know that about me? Right? Or how did you know I was struggling with that? Okay? And just seems to be this timely, because God is sovereign, he loves you, and he gives this gift to really encourage people in the moment, to let them know, hey, I know where you're at. You're not alone, okay? And so God gives us this gift for our joy. Well, man. Oh, one more thing about prophecy. It takes us beyond knowledge. I think that's important. If we just had teachers and we just had a bunch of knowledge, we wouldn't respond, okay? Prophecy calls us to response, to the response of being God's people. That's what the gift of prophecy is for. So, all right, we just made it through all 19. We'll finish up here. I just want to end on this. Isn't it a great thing that there are so many different gifts? I mean, I just want you to imagine this. What if we all had one gift? Okay? What if everybody in here had the gift of mercy, but nobody had the gift of prophecy, right? There would be no truth. We would just be merciful all the time, but we wouldn't have the truth coming in, right? And but what if we had all prophecy and no mercy? Then it would just be this big mega beatdown of guys up there telling you that you're wrong, that you need to repent, and that Jesus is better, right? And so God gives us this variation of gifts. What if we just had all evangelism and no teaching? Then what we would have is a bunch of baby Christians who would perpetually be stuck at being baby Christians because they would not be taught and they would not grow. And what if we had all teaching and no evangelism, which this tends to be many, many churches? Then what you would have is a bunch of smart Christians who were not on mission with God, and therefore have no reason to be the church. They're not being the church, what God called them out to be, okay? So it is a great thing that there are different gifts. We all bring something to the table. You are a gift to this church. You have been given a spiritual gift with which to serve this church. Churches tend to emphasize a particular gift, usually according to the leadership, right? And so because I have a high prophetic gift in the sense that I'm always using it in front of you and with you and to you, and evangelism is a big value of mine, and I'm always doing evangelism. That's a gift of mine. The Lord blesses that. That tends to make everybody feel like they need to squeeze into that box, all right? And I see it here a lot, that we all kind of feel like we've got to be the, just hammer each other with the gospel all the time, all right? And if I don't do evangelism, I'm this big failure. Now, we need to speak truth, and we need to do evangelism. Great, those are issues of being faithful to the Lord. But the problem is most of you aren't gifted in the same way as me, all right? And that's a good thing. That is a good thing. And so my question for you is, if you're not going to squeeze into that box, the box of the preacher, don't check out. Don't check out. Don't stand back. My question for you is, what is your gift? How are you gifted? And don't miss the big point of this discussion of spiritual gifts. And I'll end on this.
Jesus died for his church. He loves his people. He dreams about the success of his people. He's provided for the success of his people. That spiritual gifts are seen in the context of God's great love for us. Don't forget that. He's given us spiritual gifts to communicate his great love for people and for the world. And so when we think about serving, it's not just, oh man, because the pastor's beating me down about serving, man. No, it's because you have been served by Jesus, the suffering servant who has reconciled you to the Father. How can you not? How can you not? So consumerism isn't even remotely close to Christianity. There's no such thing as consumer Christianity. It's just consumerism, okay? And so if that's you, get out of that. Come back and understand that you have been grafted into the vine and that the power of that vine, the life of that vine, grafted you into it so that the life of that vine would pulse through you in spiritual gifts for the service of the building up of the body of Christ. Do not sit this out. You are a gift. You are a gift. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to all remember this. Help us to remember your great love. Lord, help us to remember your power that you have called us to partake in, not out of guilt, not out of performance, but out of privilege, that we get to be on mission with you, and you have gifted us. I pray just for a church that is going to steadfastly and patiently pursue how you have made us. Lord, that we would first be willing to do anything you ask us to do, that our lives would be belonging to you, everything about us. And then from that, you would begin to just hone and develop the specific things that you've kind of called us to do, Lord. And we just, I pray that we'd be listening to you and willing to for you to take us into uncomfortable places, God. And I just pray that you would give us grace to do and to be the church, to be and to live as branches out of the vine. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, for being such a glorious vine, for having the life, for being God, for pumping the life of God into our dead bodies, for bringing us back to life through your cross. You took our sin, you took our death away, and you took it onto your shoulders, and you gave us life. You gave us the opportunity to participate with you. You're too good. You are way too good. And we love you. We bless you. I pray that you'd be honored by our worship. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.